Do 7 NUFC Matters show a week for free. But if you want to help support NUFC Matters, then there are a few ways of doing it. Hit the like button on each live broadcast and video. This helps the channel grow. Hit the subscribe button and select the all notifications bell so you don't miss a single show. If you want to help us financially, then you can join the channel using this button with the membership starting at $1.99 a month. Or you can drop us a donation in the chat using a super sticker. We're also looking for sponsors. If you'd like your brand advertised on the flyers for the show and featured during the ad break, then email John at nufcmatters.com to arrange today. Good evening, welcome to NUFC Matters with me, Steve Wraith. Supermac and Gibbo join me this evening, as always, on a Thursday. Good evening, lads.
Hi, boys.
Hi, John.
Hi,
good to, see you, as always. International week, but plenty to talk about with regards to Newcastle United. And don't forget, get your questions in as well. If you've got a question for the lads, and I can see there's a few already coming up, get them in and we'll get through as many as we can. But we've got to start with the news, Malcolm, that Sven Botman injured again, this time out now for potentially 9 months, could be out until December. Going to have an operation next week on an ACL, and it means that we're going to be without him now. I would say, I'm not an expert, not a doctor, but the way that ACLs take their time these days to mend and you know, recover from the surgery, it looks like December before we have Sven Botman available again, Malcolm. What were your thoughts on that?
This is news to me, Steve, I have to say. But this is another long-term injury. Why is it all happening so? There have been so many long-term injuries. I have never known the like of it in all my years in and outside of football. And I just... If I were the manager, I would be saying, right, I want this investigated. Why is it happening? We have to find out. It can't be just down to bad luck all the time. Why is it happening? Is it something that they're doing in training or what? It's got to be a cause for it, and get it resolved. I'm scratching my head on this. I really am. So many long-term injuries. Never known the like of it.
Yeah, I mean, this one is particularly, aggravating, I guess, because hindsight's a wonderful thing. We all love hindsight. It's a wonderful thing. And with hindsight, it would have been better if Sven had had the operation when he originally done his knee, way back towards the end of last year. And the information I'm given is that it was as much his decision not to go under the knife as it was Newcastle United's decision, because he felt he could get back quicker. Newcastle had an injury crisis at the time. He thought rest and recuperation, he could get back quicker and could be... what he was. Now, obviously, Newcastle back them on that with their medical people looking at it, etc. But with hindsight, if it had been done then rather than done now, you would be well on the way to recovery. And ironically, while it was while he was kept from going under the knife for all the good reasons, the positive reasons, he might come back and help us that much quicker if he has an operation out for 6 to 9 months automatically. With hindsight, it never worked, because when he did come back after a little bit rest, he's never looked the player he was, and he's looked progressively worse for me every game he's played recently. And we've said so on this show. Loads of people have said so.
You can see he wasn't right, John, yeah.
Oh, he hasn't looked the same, anywhere near the same player as he was. And he was doing himself no service, bless him, because you will begin to look at him and say, what have you got here? And it's all down to the injury. And finally, you know, the injury's just become too much, and the inevitable's had to happen. As I say, hindsight's a wonderful thing. With hindsight, it would have been better if it was done back in October when the injury happened. But it wasn't.
And this is a different injury, John, isn't it? The club have been quite specific. And in the way that the press release came out yesterday, lots of people, it sounds as if it's a separate injury. It's the same leg, same knee, but a different injury, which I find rather strange. It was a weird way of putting it.
Has one caused the other, though?
Well, this is it. This is it. And he decided not to have surgery on this injury. And went for, you know, the recovery rather than the surgery. But now he's going to have the surgery. I mean, I am clueless on injuries.
Well,
I'm not a doctor.
There's no way it cannot be associated. It's in the same knee. He admits that he decided not to have surgery, and now he's having to have surgery. Well, that's not disconnected at all. I mean, it's the same thing, one thing sparking the other. It is better for all concerned if it's not literally the same injury, because it makes everybody look a bit foolish if it's the same injury, doesn't it?
Sure.
But I mean, it's the same thing, lads.
You know, you're talking about 9 months, John. It used to be that we'd have sort of like a cartilage removed or something like that. And it was a mad race to beat the record as to who could get back the quickest.
Yeah.
And yeah. I think Bob Moncur held it. It was something like about 5 weeks.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, it is an awful blow for the boy. Luckily, I mean, that is a very aged back four, apart from him. The original back four that was so wonderful last season, of Trippier, Shaw, Botman and Byrne, they're all over 30, bar Sven. Sven has time to take 9 months out and come back. He's only 24. And come back strong and good and have a good career. Had it been any of the other three, it would have taken a massive chunk out of what is left of their career. Newcastle have now got to get through the 10 matches at the end of this season and the beginning of next season without him. And unless you buy in the summer, and that's a distinct possibility, they were looking at centre-halves anyway, the situation open to Newcastle for the West Ham game is you either bring Lascelles in and move Shaw to left side, which is what they did not so long ago when Botman was out, or you bring Byrne in to left-sided centre-half, which is what he is, and play Lafamento on the left side and Trippier on the right side.
I would do the latter of the two, personally.
Yeah. I mean, Byrne, bless him, has deserved the chance to actually play where he's supposed to play, hasn't he?
You would think so, yes. Yeah.
I tell you what, he must want to play where he's supposed to play.
Well, yes. You know, if I were to ask you the question, well, is he a bad centre-half or a good centre-half, you wouldn't be able to tell me, would you? We've hardly seen anything of him in the centre. We can only judge him on his full-back performances.
Yep.
Yeah, it's a lot of questions and not many answers, it has to be said, with regards to, you know, who's to blame. Lots of finger pointing going on, certainly on social media amongst fans. People saying, you know, that there should be a change in the medical team. Alan Little says, do you think there's a change in the Toons medical staff needed? Even Bruno today in his presser said he's never seen as many strange injuries.
I bet Botman wishes that he had a few bets on the on the club, because he would have got back quicker, wouldn't he?
Oh dear. I mean, you know what I mean, though, Malcolm. There are question marks over the medical staff. That's the problem. You know, people are questioning: is it the medical staff or is it the manager? Is the manager's training
when I say we, whether we're journalists, whether we're fans, whether we're any type of the media, the television or whatever, you've got to be very cautious in pointing the finger when you're not in the inside seeing what's happening. Mm-hmm. Because you're talking about people's livelihoods here, and you're talking about calling people incompetent, whether they're on the medical side or the coaching side, for being responsible for this. Now, if you then pick on the wrong people and it's the other people, that is unforgivable and it's almost sober. You know, you've got to be careful on who you say. But let me put it another way. When you look upon the injury list Newcastle are getting and the high pressure game they play, there's something got to be wrong either A, in the training, or B, in the medical staff. Because that's the two things we don't see, you know, are people breaking down because they're trying to keep this high press, the momentum, the thing that happened with Leeds United when Bielsa was there, and the second season they just couldn't keep the game up and they were getting a lot of injuries. But it's either the high pressing game's taking its toll and making people brittle physically, or the medical staff are not right on top of the game. But I wouldn't point the finger to one or the other, because if you point it to one and it isn't them, you're doing a huge, huge, huge disservice.
Sure. Well, there was a text a bit earlier on that said that Eddie Howe and his team had the same problem when they were managing down at Bournemouth. They had the same problem there. If that's correct, then it's got to be investigated medically as to what it is that's being done in training or the instructions on how they're playing. But I would think it's more likely what are they doing in training, because you're training an awful lot more than you're playing.
I mean, we know as well Sean Longstaff's playing with an injury. I mean, Eddie mentioned it in the press conference.
Oh, you can see that. You can see that a mile off.
You could see it in Longstaff and in Botman, couldn't you?
And
you
in Botman. See it in the both of them. Absolutely. Yeah. It stood out a mile. You know, Sean has been reduced by, 20% in the amount of running that he does? And he's always been the most reliable of guys. But of course, if he's not physically capable of doing all those good things that he's been renowned for now, then he's always going to be struggling, because it's not as if he's overblown with absolute footballing talent. That's not him at all. He is a hard working guy, and he had the greatest running performance in the Premier Division last season, which was quite remarkable. He was running further than anybody else, and what I saw, and it was more going than just looking back at some of the recordings of previous matches and just following him. And what I discovered was that wherever the ball went, he was always within 10 yards of it. That is some running. You know, because the ball could be binged about all over the place. It can be moved at super speeds. And Sean Longstaff was always there. And that was a wonderful thing, because it gave whoever was in receipt of the ball, they always knew that he would be there as an option, just to knock it to. Always a way out. And he's not able to do that anymore. He's not getting there. He's not getting from A to B in the way that he was.
the difficulty is, and the shame is, that both lads, Longstaff and Botman, have sacrificed themselves in recent weeks for the sake of the team.
And in the end, they get criticised for it, John.
Have not done their reputation any good whatsoever. They've done their reputation no good whatsoever. The whole picture is confusing and needs looking at great depth, because it must also be said, on the other side of the coin, that some of the injuries have been flukes. I mean, two blokes with dislocated shoulders, that's not the way you train. It doesn't bring that on. You know, the goalkeeper falls down on a feather bed. He went down that slow and he's dislocated his shoulder.
I know. Is that bad luck? I've never heard of that in all the decades that I've been involved or taking those of football. Never known it anywhere, any club.
I mean, Yano, I've got to read Yano's point out, because he said Pope and Murphy, dislocated shoulders. Barnes, ballerina injury. Byrne fell on his back. What the hell have these injuries got to do with training and medical staff? And Eddie, you know, this is the flip side of it. He says fans are just looking for someone to blame where there's no one to blame. This ain't the Ashley era. I think it's just the fact that, again, maybe as well, that Eddie John has had to play players, you know, when they're not fully fit, because we haven't had the players to put on the pitch. So by his own admission, he's having to play Sean Longstaff, and Sean's taking injections to play. And that's why we're not seeing the best of them. Byrne came back early.
But that's not resolving long-term injury situations that are developing within the club. That's just trying to cover it up. I've never known so many long-term injuries as this club.
But I mean, as we say, there is another flip side of the coin, like that guy was saying, and I'd already adhered to, which is you get two guys out with dislocated shoulders for yonks. You know, that is flukish. And you get Elliot Anderson getting out of bed or something. What did they? And of course, Byrne was, because he's 8'6". When he went up to head the ball, he was falling from such a dizzy height. It was like falling down Everest. I mean, they were fluky injuries. But you then, and of course, the other thing, talking about not having anybody available, the absurd thing was Tonali's 52 million. And doesn't play for 9 months because he likes to gamble at Ladbrokes. I mean, you know, the whole thing begins to get absurd. But there are things that Newcastle will look at, which is the injuries to Botman, the injury to Harvey Barnes. We don't know. That was a freakish type injury, but you know what's happened in the medical, how getting him back to strength, and he comes back for a couple of sub appearances and all of a sudden he's out again indefinitely. You know, we there's something going on. But having said that, we have had a lot of freakish things, from two dislocated shoulders to Botman, to Byrne falling off the top of Everest, and to Tonali going down the bookies too often and therefore not available to us for 9 months, 10 months, 11 months.
Anderson injuring his back getting out of bed, said Eddie, according to Ant.
Yes. Yeah, I mean, you know, it's been total crazy. But, I mean, I do know that Newcastle have been disturbed and anxious enough to say, we've got to have an internal investigation, not because we're trying to witch hunt, because we're not, but because if we can step up on anything and help the situation by finding little things that aren't quite what perhaps they should be, then we owe it to ourselves to do this, because it's getting to be absurd, and it really is. I mean, we go off now, don't we? And, you know, we don't know there's anything wrong with Livramento until we get the team sheet an hour before the last game, and he's not even down in Chelsea because he's got an injury. What's his injury, and how long is he going to be out?
Yeah, I worry a little bit about things and with regards to the way that things come out at press conferences. And I think I can point this back to about 3 or 4 weeks ago. I'd have to go back through the, you know, through the press conferences that Eddie did, and you'd all be able to do it. You'd have to be able to find it. But Eddie did say on one of the press conferences, and I think this was when Botman had come back, and there was a couple of issues. He came back and more or less said that there'd been an issue. And this was, I tell you when it was. It was when the physio left, or one of the medical team left a couple of weeks ago.
When the physio left,
John, he was asked about it in the press conference, and this isn't a direct quote, but it was along the lines of, there have been issues which we're aware of, and they're collective issues, and it's something that we're going to need to look into. Now, I think essentially that probably gives those people who want to find a negative out of positive stuff, you know, I think that's probably where it came from. I think a lot of people have gone, well, hold on a minute. They put two and two together, and maybe they got five. You know, that guy's gone. Is it his fault? What's Eddie saying? There was reference to work in the gym. So are we doing too many weights? Are the lads doing weights with their legs when they shouldn't be doing that? You know, that's what leads to speculation. Because there hasn't been a direct statement that's come out and they've said, right, the reason that we're getting injuries is bam, 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 bam. That's it. You know, it's because we're left to speculate. And the problem is our club, I almost feel we're unique. We probably aren't. But I almost feel that we're unique in the sense that a lot of people, John, Malcolm, live their lives around Newcastle United. They don't have anything else in their life other than what's going on at St. James's Park.
Yeah.
And it just leads to speculation. People want to know the ins and outs of everything. And that's okay. Why I'm
But there is one point I think that has to be considered. And that is, okay, this physio, he's left after what, less than 2 years, I think. But about 20 months ago or so, the physio that had been at Newcastle for 26 years, Derek Wright.
Legend.
Yeah, that he retired. And so this other regime came in to the, yeah, to the physio room. Now, Derek Wright was an ex-pro. He'd been at Arsenal, played at York, got a bad injury. And then he started with me at Fulham as a physio, and he worked there on his own, one man band, and worked like a Trojan, I can tell you. And then he went to Newcastle, and he was at Newcastle for the rest of his adult working life, and then retired. Good on him, but the club in all that time never saw the kind of injury pressure that it's under at the moment. And so I think being an ex-pro stands in good stead, because you know what professional footballers need to stay fit and how to keep them in tip-top condition.
I think one of the things that interests me, guys, on talking about this intense speculation, the first thing that interests me is that there's a different sort of way clubs and the press operate now to when I was a young man. Now you have press conferences on a Friday before the weekend game. You might have a press conference midweek if there is a midweek game. I used to go up every day that God sent and have 3/4 hour with Joe Harvey when he was manager of Newcastle United at St. James's, one-on-one, just him and me, to talk each day. Now, that was both good and bad. It was good if you knew what you were about and you had a relationship, because you'd find things out. It's bad if you were very bad on conversations, etc., because you'd get out. But the thing is that either on the record or marking your card off the record, you got all the answers to questions that you ask. And you're allowed to ask more than one question. You go to a press conference now, and you've got a maximum of three questions from you to the manager. And if your third question isn't answered the way you want it answered, you can't go back and say, ah, but what about that? That's, you're finished, and you're on to the next guy. And also, there's not the daily situation between the manager and the press, meaning the mouthpiece for the fans to find out every day what's happening. So you get this secretive business where you don't know players are injured at all until the team comes out and they're not there, and you say, where the hell's Tino? Where the hell's somebody else? You don't know. So that creates speculation because there's no answers. And also, social media now has produced, the world is full of conspiracy theories, whether you're talking about Newcastle United, whether you're talking about England, whether you're talking about Man U with Ratcliffe moving in, whether you're talking about the royal family, for goodness sake. The royal family say nothing, the same as Newcastle say nothing. And the speculation is rife, isn't it? The speculation runs rife on social media about what is the current situation on this, that, and it is a totally different world now. And it's a world where you get fans or the ordinary man in the street asking more and more questions, and you get less and less answers from the establishment, whether that establishment's the royal family or Newcastle United Football Club. You know, I used to be able to ask Joe questions every single day.
Yeah.
Now you've got to wait till press conference day, and then you're limited on what you can say. And the manager will particularly, and the manager, bearing in mind the press conferences have got cameras on you like we have now, the manager can't say, look, mate, off the record, the situation is this. I am not able to be quoted on it, but just so you've got it and you don't write the wrong things, you write the right things, this is a situation. You can't card mark with a big camera on it and everybody sitting there, and it's going out on Sky within half an hour of what you've said. It's a completely different setup, and I don't think it's beneficial in lots of ways. And of course, if you don't get answers, then the speculation is absolutely rife, isn't it?
Isn't it just?
It is. Lots of speculation, and we will obviously keep an eye on what's going on with regards to the injury situation with Tino as well. Maybe we'll get some kind of answers from photographs potentially that come back from the trip in Dubai, if Tino is there, or you know, I know he was selected, I think, for one of the lower England squads. So has he gone there? We'll have to wait and see. But yeah, hopefully Tino Livramento was a minor injury and nothing too serious. Okay, we are halfway through the show. We'll come to some more of your questions after the ads. A big thanks to all our sponsors, Skips and Bins. Go to their website, skipsandbins.com, email inquiries at skipsandbins.com, or telephone 0800 25 45 25 3. Easy contract free and pay-as-you-go waste collection. Thanks to Mr. Vicky's Sauces, handmade in Cumbria. Go to their website, mrvickys.co.uk, email info at mrvickys.co.uk, or telephone 01768 210 102. Thanks to United Group Travel. Go to their website, unitedgrouptravel.com, email info at unitedgrouptravel.com, or phone 01670 632 460, or mobile 0791 666 4174. They're a local company from Morpeth, and there are no strangers on our tours, just friends you haven't met yet. Big thanks to Media Arts for all the help with the video side of things. And if you want to subscribe to the channel, hit the subscribe button under the video. Click the thumb up to like the video and click share to share to your social media. If you want to help the channel financially, you can pay a one-off £25 fee. You get a cup, a scarf, a pen and a membership card and entry into the NUFC Matters monthly draw. Email john at nufcmatters.com for more details. Or if you've got a smartphone, scan the QR code now and it takes you straight to the membership pack. We also support the food bank on this channel. Go to nufcfansfoodbank.co.uk and you'll find the matchday bucket. You can make a donation virtually today. You can also find us on iTunes, Spotify and other podcast providers. We also do events during the year. NUFC Matters Live will be at the O2 City Hall on Friday the 2nd of August for an evening with Rob Lee, One Night in Antwerp. Tickets start at £15 and you can get them from ticketmaster.co.uk. An Evening with the Entertainers takes place on Friday, the 24th of January, 2025 at the Tyne Theatre and Opera House in Newcastle. Telephone 0844 249 1000 or visit the website tynetheatreandoperahouse.uk to buy tickets today. You can also catch me on the North East Footy Breakfast Show live on Toon Radio weekdays 7 till 9am on DAB, smart speakers and the ToonUK.com. And don't forget, Supermac and Gibbo are part of the end of season do 20th of July at the Tyneside Irish Centre in aid of Dementia Matters. And the tickets are a tenner and they're from NUFCMatters.com or NewcastleLegends.com. Get yourself onto there. And the Peter Beardsley tickets for the 2nd of June are available at the Woucher website. Go to Woucher and you'll be able to get your tickets for the Peter Beardsley event on there. Okay, plenty of questions, which I highlighted earlier on. I just want to get to this one first from Tom. Do you have any memories of Ron Bainham? And did you play with him?
Now, I know the name, but I had I've got no real memories of him at all. He was before me.
Okay, there you go, Tom. That answers the question. A more serious one here from Stephen Kennedy. Supermac, John and Steve, what's your preferred Easter Sunday roast dinner? Beef, lamb, pork or chicken? And which sauce is with it? I've got to be honest, lads. For Easter, I'd like to have a lamb dinner and I like a bit of mint sauce. And it's got to be nice gravy. So that's my answer.
Well, I was well prepared for this footballing question, and now I was just wondering how long it would take before it come up, but...
John, have you got a preference? And notice he says Easter Sunday roast.
Yes, as if it should be something with an egg on the side of it or something. I don't know. It's a special, not just a Sunday roast. Well, honestly, I mean, if you take anything there, I guess lamb and chicken would be my two favourites out the four there. Right. But if you put anything, if those down in front of me, I wouldn't turn my nose up like I would in a day out at the Stadium of Light.
All right. And which sauce, John? Would you have mint?
I've always been a bit saucy.
Malcolm, any preference?
Well, I'm a bit with you, Steve. I do enjoy lamb, I have to say, very much. And I'm quite easy on the side. I don't mind whether it comes with mint sauce or red sauce. So,
all right.
Yeah, red berry sauce.
Oh, red berry, yeah. Because you would have people going into complete overdrive there thinking you meant tomato sauce.
No, red berries. Yeah.
All right.
Bit of ketchup, eh?
A bit of ketchup on everything, yeah.
Sunday dinner, yeah.
What else have we got? I'm not going to go down the injuries. There's a couple of questions about injuries. We've already done that. Bruno and Isaac seems to be causing a few questions. Blue Rhythm Boy asks it the best. Thoughts on Bruno and Isaac. Bruno said he doesn't know what the future holds when he's usually quite steadfast in saying he won't leave. Isaac apparently has an £80 million release clause with Arsenal at the ready. And yeah, one or two other people asking similar types of questions. With regards to Bruno saying he doesn't know what the future holds. Everything can be taken out of context, of course. Somebody else read that and said, somebody else who watched the interview back felt that, he said he was committed to Newcastle and didn't know what the future held with Newcastle, on the pitch at this moment in time, So you can take it anyway, can't you, Mal?
Yeah. Yes, you can. He's probably aware of interest, but he doesn't know what the real situation is. That he doesn't know whether the club are holding talks with anybody at all. They'll keep that quiet until they're ready. So it's all a little bit of a secretive game going on. Is the transfer market and. I see the stories about this lad, But then at the same time, all of a sudden, a little story appeared, and I've not seen it before, so I presume that it's just appeared for today. And they're talking of a French international coming in who's a central midfield player, Adrien Rabiot, who's played for France on many, many occasions. He started at PSG. He's now at Juve. His contract ends this summer, and he'll be just turning 30. And so he would sound an ideal player to get in, whether Bruno is here or not. But the situation that Newcastle also find themselves in is with this FFP situation, that they haven't got the money to spend, pretty much, unless they bring it in from elsewhere. And the only way to do that is to sell a player.
I mean, if you're a top notch player and you have a release figure in your contract, then, and it always gets out, first of all, if you're an agent, if somebody like Bruno or Isak, and you're going to sign a new contract, the first thing you say is we want a release clause in it. If somebody bids 100 million, 95 million, did you agree to release them? So the first thing they do is, the agent, is make certain there's a release clause in. Then, if things aren't going hunky-dory like Newcastle on fourth top and going to go in the Champions League and in a League Cup final like last season, then discreetly the agent lets out what the release clause is. No pack drill, nothing. Just here's a tip. The release clause is 100 million. Now, once that gets in the domain, the release clause, it is open to speculation. Is a club like Real Madrid or Barcelona or Liverpool or Man City going to come in and pay the release clause? Then Newcastle are forced to let him go if the player wants to go. So it swings and roundabouts, and it's going to happen all the time. More and more players are having release clauses written into their contracts. I think one of the first ones, you know, boys, one of the first release clauses I can remember written into a player's contract was Kevin Keegan at Southampton, who had a £100,000 release clause written into his contract, and Newcastle United took advantage of him to bring him to Newcastle. When Kevin Keegan come to Newcastle as a player, it's because there was a £100,000 release clause in his Southampton contract. Newcastle knew about it and triggered it. So that's really when release clauses first came in, and it was only the superstar players that were going to have them in those days, and that was Kevin Keegan at Southampton. And, you know, they're standard now, and you are going to get huge speculation. And players are going to sit on the fence because they can. You know, Bruno yes. sit on the fence and wait and see if Newcastle next season are going to be back to what they were last season, and if not, he can go to Manchester City or somebody that does trigger the release. And Isak's going to be, if you've got a centre forward that scores goals, and Isak's got 16 this season, and he's beneath 25 year old. Now, I'll ask you, Malcolm, if you've got a centre forward who's under 25 and he scored 16 goals and the season isn't over, and there's a release clause, some people are going to be interested, aren't they?
Of course they are. Yes, absolutely. Of course they are. And the speculation is such at the moment where, in all honesty, the player doesn't know, the club doesn't know. You know, that there's rumour going around. There maybe has been conversations held, but there's nothing determined in any way whatsoever. It's all pie in the sky, and so the answer to any question is, well, in all honesty, I don't really know.
The answer is wait and see. Wait and see if somebody makes it.
Absolutely, it is wait and see, John. Yeah.
The breaking news, as we've been on air as well, that Leicester have been charged with overspending by the Premier League. So the rumours of potentially Leicester having a points deduction if they get promoted will certainly come true. Similar kind of work.
Can they get promoted and immediately come straight down with a points deduction?
So the talk is that if Leicester get promoted, at the moment they're sitting second, they had something like a 10 or 11 point lead at one stage. Leeds have now surpassed them on goal difference, but they're still in there fighting with you know, automatic place up for grabs. But, you know, Leeds, Leicester and Ipswich will fight it out now for the remaining games. However, we're in a position now where should Leicester come up, then they will come into the Premier League and automatically be deducted points that the Premier League will basically deduct because of that. So, yeah, we could be in a situation where Leicester start the season as a newly promoted club with -4 or -6 points. That's where we're going to be at.
Yeah, well, I have to say that because all of a sudden, I think since we last spoke, they've given
Forest back
to Everton, and then they've also taken them away from Nottingham Forest. And so in the season, it's not just on matches played that sides are going up and down in the table. It's outside interference from a long time back. And I just find it absolutely ridiculous. I'm watching Luton going up in and out of the relegation zone, and they've done nothing to deserve that in any way whatsoever. I think it's ridiculous. All of this should be left to the close season. Whatever it is, they can investigate as much as they want through the season, but you deal with it once the season is over and done with, and that's when there should be points reductions.
They don't even wait till the close season to do Man City. They've been waiting for how long's Man City been waiting?
Well, this is nonsense. How long? I suppose they're going to say though that I think there's a 125 charges.
Yeah, there's so many, yes.
So they've got to there's so many different investigations.
Well, I think when this comes to a conclusion with Man City, and they're found guilty of over 100 offences, I think they could well be relegated so far that they'll be playing Gateshead at the International Stadium in the Conference League.
good old
Gateshead. It'll be all right. They can host Man City. at least that'll get them out of the League Cup for us in the FA Cup from day one, for us to keep drawing them. At least that won't happen. We won't play them four times in the season, which is just what we've just done this season.
Yeah, just want to say congratulations to Mark Byers, who's one of our moderators. He said, just tuned in, just home from the hospital after the birth of my second daughter and newest member of the Arkansas Mags, 6 pounds and 1 ounce. Let's hope we win a trophy in her lifetime, because we haven't won one in mine. Congratulations.
Well done. Congratulations. And yes, yeah, it's we're all standing, counting down how long it's going to take for us to see Newcastle win something. I think second daughter's got a greater chance than I've got. I must say that.
And can we give a shout out, Malcolm? We've had a request from Al Waleed in Saudi Arabia. He says, could you please give a shout out to a big Newcastle fan who lives in Saudi Arabia called Jane McGiven? Can you say a hello to Jane?
I certainly can. Yes. Hello, Jane. It's wonderful of you to be joining us. She must be aware. She must and follow this on the internet. That's great. Maybe we'll get a question from you at such time in the near future, and that will be interesting. And also, I wonder what it is then, because she would have greater knowledge of this than any of us. Exactly what's being said in Saudi Arabia about PIF ownership of Newcastle right now.
Yeah.
And what's going to be happening in the immediate future.
She could
be our Saudi Arabian correspondent, couldn't she? Yeah, and give us a little report every time we're on air.
We've got a few more questions. Andy Martin, I'll come to this one. I love this one. Malcolm, were you offered a part in the football movie Escape to Victory with the great Bobby Moore?
No, I wasn't. No.
Okay.
No. I thought it was a wonderful film, absolutely brilliant. And
there was a few of the guys in that, wasn't there? I mean, I think Pelé was in it, and there was a couple.
Bobby Moore?
Well, yes, as was said on that, there was Bobby Moore, there was Pelé. I think there was a couple of the Ipswich boys were in it as well. And then all of a sudden you got in, there was a couple of actors suddenly appearing on screen trying to play the football and playing goal and that, which was
quite fun.
Which was Michael Caine, I think, and whatever. Quite fun, yes.
Did he blow the bloody doors off, John?
Oh, yeah. I mean, we could do with them at the moment to stitch the doors on our defence just to keep the doors shut.
Donald, good evening. He says, question for Malcolm. Did you think Ray Houghton would go on to have an international career? I believe he was one of your players at Fulham.
Yes. Oh, I thought that, yes, without a shadow of a doubt. And he had the choice because he was born in Scotland and therefore he could have played for Scotland. Or because of, I think it was one of his parents, was from the Republic of Ireland. So he had the choice. And of course, the era in which he was actually internationally selected was that of Jack Charlton. And it was Jack that took him to the World Cup. And the quarterfinals they got through to? It was quite remarkable, the run that they had.
Malcolm, that World Cup, it's very interesting that you brought it up there. That World Cup is the one where England didn't qualify. And I was covering all the World Cups for the Chronicle at the time.
Yeah.
And this particular four-year spell, at the end of it, when England didn't qualify for the finals, I thought, oh, damn it, my chance of going to the World Cup gone. And all of a sudden, the Chronicle said to me about the World Cup, you know, you haven't booked your holidays. I said, no, but, you know, there's no England. I said, yes, but there's a Geordie manager at the World Cup, Jack Charlton, go and report on the Republic of Ireland.
Yeah.
So I went away with the Republic of Ireland to the World Cup in America. The first game was against Italy, Republic of Ireland against Italy, and three quarters of the ground was full of leprechauns with the old Republic green on, and I think from all the Irish bars over in America, and the other bits was full of the Italian waiters who were supporting Italy, and it was a terrific game, and Jack won 1-0 and Ray Houghton scored the goal. Ray Houghton scored the goal to beat Italy in that game that I was at. And Jack, it was amazing. I travelled with the Republic to the various. We were down in Florida. We flew up to New York for games and Boston and whatever. And every night, about this time of night, I would be in the bar, in the hotel, having a little snifter just before I went into dinner. And the door would burst open and I would hear a voice behind me and would say, Gibbo, mine's a Guinness. And his second words were, is a fag, and it was Big Jack. Buy him a Guinness and would I give him a fag, because I was smoking at the time. And I said to him after about a week, I said, Jack, you're the manager of the Republic of Ireland at the World Cup, you must be making a few quid, and I'm a humble guy from the Evening Chronicle, there's no chance that you would buy me a Guinness and give me a fag. He said, no, I'm not going to do that, but I'll tell you what I will do, I'll give you a story tomorrow. And I said, well, that'll do, right? So that was the deal. And Jack was a lovely man. When I come back from that trip, he phoned me up and he said, should we have some lunch, he says, to talk about what my thoughts are from this trip with the Republic of Ireland. I said, that's great. He said, will the Chronicle pay for it?
Yeah.
I said, no, not likely. The Chronicle won't pay for it. They won't do that. He says, right. We'll go to Harry Ramsden's. And it turns out we went to Harry Ramsden's because Harry Ramsden sponsored Jack and we got fish and chips for now. when he was paying, we went to Harry Ramsden's. But I've got lovely, lovely warm memories of Jack, and from that yeah. And the star of his team at that time was Ray Houghton, of course.
Yes, of course. Now Ray, he had been an apprentice at West Ham, and yeah. And his apprenticeship was coming to an end, and we had sort of Terry Mancini was my reserve team coach, and he and I he was from the great boxing family in West London.
Oh, yes, yeah, they were in London. Yeah. Yes, they were.
Yeah, and he played for QPR, Arsenal, Lake Norient, what have you. I played many a time both against and with Terry. He was nicknamed Henry, of course.
Of course he was. Of course he was.
Henry Mancini, yes. At the end of the season, that every club has to provide to the Football League, or to the FA, in fact, the retain and transfer list, which is all of the players on the staff of that particular club that are being retained for next season, and all of those who are at the end of a contract and not having contracts renewed, and therefore that's the transfer section. And so you give the list, and it's all very secretive, and it will be printed by the Football Association, and then a copy of this printout would then be sent to each club. This is how it worked back in the pre-internet days and what have you. Nowadays it would all be so much quicker, and so it was all very sort of secretive in keeping the information secret, and then on a certain particular time it was printed so that everybody saw it at the same time. Well, it just so happened that Fulham Football Club had a fan who worked in the Football Association, and we would just get tipped off as to anything interesting coming up. And so, to our utter amazement, the fella contacted us and he said, are you aware that Ray Houghton's getting a free transfer? And I said, you what? And he said, yeah. West Ham are giving him a free. So this is a couple of days before it's due to come out. And I'm thinking, blimey, Ray Houghton, free transfer. Right. So I just bit the bullet, phoned John Lyle, the manager of West Ham, and I said, hello, John. I said, John, can I ask you, I said, I hope you don't mind, but I said, a little birdie has just whispered to me that that on the retain and transfer list at West Ham, I said that there's a somebody called Houghton that's not being retained. I said, is that Ray Houghton? He said, yes, it is Ray Houghton. And I said, how many Ray Houghtons do you have at the club? He said, just the one. I said, oh, right. So I knew then exactly who we were talking about. And so he said, and anyway, how the hell do you know? The list doesn't come out for another couple of days. I said, you know how little birds talk, don't you? And I said, it was just a little something that came back to me. But I am very, very interested. And I said, are you prepared to help? He said, normally, he said, I would have told you where to go. He said, but he said, I think that Fulham is the absolute ideal move for Ray. The football you play is perfect for him. So I'll see if he'll come over and see you. 2 hours later, Ray Houghton arrives. And so I've sat down, talked with him, and I've had my secretary draw up a contract with all the details, and I found out from John Lyle how much he'd been earning there. So this was substantially more in pay than he'd been earning at West Ham. And so so I put that in front of him and signed him there and then. And I said, look, in a couple of days' time, we're leaving for the West Indies. I said, so if you fancy joining us, you're more than welcome. Oh, he said, that would be great. So I said, okay. Well, the players are downstairs. They've been getting sort of hot baths and massages and what have you. So I phoned down to the dressing room and I said, could you ask the captain, Les Strong, to come up? And so Les Strong has walked into my office, the club captain, and I said, our latest signing, Les, can I introduce you to Ray Houghton? Ray, this is Les Strong, club captain. And Les Strong, he just went, wow. You're really a Fulham player, are you? Yeah, he said in his Scottish brogue, Ray Houghton. He said, so Les, he said, well, come on, he said, the lads are going to be delighted to see you. So as they're going along the corridor and down the outside stairs to the dressing rooms, so Les has said, well, we're a really friendly club here. He said, we're sort of family orientated. And we like everybody to be really happy. Now, before I introduce you, are there any sort of nicknames or whatever that you don't like being called? Just so I can make sure that you're going to be happy. And he said, well, to be honest, he said, I hate being called sweaty sock jock. And so Les said, okay, he said, right, thanks for the warning on that one. And so he's taken Ray Houghton into the dressing room where all the players are. And he said, guys, I want to introduce you to our latest signing, Sweaty. And he was known as Sweaty forevermore and still is by everybody. And he fell for it, hook, line and sinker. But what a player. What a fantastic player. And of course, if you remember, John, when Newcastle came up to St. James Park that particular season that followed, that
I've got no wish to remember.
I know. Well, he scored, of course, from about 40 yards and chipped the goalkeeper.
I think everybody scored that day, didn't they?
Sorry?
Everybody scored for Fulham that day, I think, didn't they?
Oh, I think so. Yeah, we won 4-1, didn't we?
Yeah, I can't remember, Malcolm.
Well, as I said...
Also, what happened in that game was the second goal... to put us ahead further, was scored by Gordon Davis. And the game was covered by Match of the Day. And that goal won the Match of the Day competition at the end of the season.
Well, thanks for reminding me, Malcolm. I'll have a good night now.
I thought I'd really cheer you up with that memory, John.
I think it's taken me about 40 years to forget it, and you've just reminded me again.
Yeah. Well, that is the end of the show. No predictions tonight. We're not going to predict England. It's a friendly. It's pointless. Tom's asking, do you think they'll beat Brazil? If they don't, they want their heads examined. This isn't the Brazil of 1970, Tom. If England don't beat them, they want to pack up and go home.
Yeah, I should be looking forward to seeing this for two different reasons. One, I'm intrigued to see just how Brazil are playing these days. And I'm not so sure that they're any patch on what they used to be.
They're not.
But no. Also, what kind of a side is England going to churn out? I'm really not sure. And I keep hearing all sorts of rumours about Southgate.
Lots of rumours about him potentially going to Man U.
It will
be interesting. I'm going to ask you this, lads, before we finish, just a little quiz here. It's a picture quiz. So here we are, before we finish. Malcolm, John, who is this?
It's Jimmy Hill.
Yes, Malcolm, you gave us the answer I was hoping for. Gibbo gets it right.
Oh, it's Harry Kane, is it?
It's Harry Kane, but it looks like Jimmy Hill.
Yeah, it does.
It's because of the chin.
It is.
Jimmy Hill, his nickname at Fulham was Chinny.
Yeah.
Because of the enormous chin that he had, which is why he covered it with a beard.
So this actual statue was made to sit in a park where Harry Kane lives. I think it cost about $7,500 to make it. And it's been stuck in a shed because council bureaucracy wouldn't allow it to be put up. But now it's been brought out and it's going to sit on a bench like that in a park where Harry Kane used to live. Looks like Drago from Rocky IV, says Paul Patterson. Looks like it needs an operation, says Andy Davies. I just thought I'd finish with a bit of humour there. That really doesn't look like Harry Kane.
That's amazing.
And the fact that Malcolm brought it up with Jimmy. All chin and no chest. Okay, lads. Great show as always. Look forward to seeing you next week when we'll be looking ahead to the West Ham game. But have a great weekend and look forward to seeing you then. Take care, guys.
All right. Take care.
All the best.
Enjoy the evening.